Welcome back.
Welcome back. Second episode of season three of Pending Nuptials, the podcast.
Pending infant, maybe.
Yeah, I'm not loving that. Actually, this is a good question to ask our listeners. Do you think that we should change the name of our podcast because we're changing the phase of our life? I mean, I just feel like...
The resounding answer is going to be no.
Well, then that's the answer. The people have spoken. The answer is no.
Okay. That was fast.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody who voted.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Welcome back. I'm Kate, and across from me is my baby daddy, Benjamin.
That's me.
That's you. Or what is it that your book calls you?
Baby Making Partner, BMP.
BMP. My BMP, Baby Making Partner. So today we're going to talk about our first trimester recap for our current pregnancy. When you are listening to this, I'm probably close to 19 or 20 weeks pregnant, which is the halfway mark, which is wild. Mm-hmm. And that means that the baby is the size of a mango, or what's the 20 week? I can't remember what 20 weeks was. Go ahead. Get in there. Do it. I know you want to talk about it. Do it.
All right. There's so much discrepancy from all these pregnancy apps of what size comparison to make for the baby. For example, just weeks ago, it was the size of an avocado. And a week later, the same app said, it's going to be the size of a cucumber. I'm like, wait, cucumbers are kind of elongated. And then the week after that, it says the size of a mango. It's
yeah.
Is our baby fucking a transformer in there? What's happening? An so anamorph?
It goes avocado, pomegranate, cucumber, mango, grapefruit. There's a lot of, to me, that's incorrect. A grapefruit and a pomegranate feel like the same size to
me. Pretty close.
So the fact that there's 2 weeks in between those two, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Why does it always have to be fruit? Can we say size of a softball?
Well, our baby registry also tells us the size of things. And so when our app told us that it was the size of a pomegranate, the registry said it was the size of a cassette tape.
Cassette tape?
Yeah.
Like with depth and everything? Our baby's squished in there?
I guess. It's 2D.
Yeah, got to rewind that thing.
So when you're listening to this, we're probably at our halfway mark, which is just absolutely insane and so exciting. We have our 20-week full anatomy scan coming up, which is exciting and a little daunting.
Yeah.
And we'll go into my anxieties that revolve around appointments and everything. But the anatomy scan, we get to the up close and personal. And it is our last ultrasound until the baby comes, which is absolutely wild to me.
I didn't know that until our last visit.
Yeah. Our 16-week visit, we walked in thinking we were going to have an ultrasound. And when we got in the room and I didn't see the ultrasound equipment, I was like, what the hell is going on in here? And so our doctor was like, oh, no, we don't do an ultrasound every time. Which I knew that, but she's like, but we'll listen to the heartbeat. And she had a little pocket Doppler, which was great for me and my anxiety. But the last ultrasound that you get, unless you have a high risk pregnancy or develop gestational diabetes, which we will find out week 28, that's your last one,
right?
Which is so wild. It's just like, oh, you're at the halfway point. You don't get to see the baby anymore. But also at that appointment, I think, and I haven't confirmed in any way, but I think we get to see the 3D face of the baby.
Which I am looking forward to.
But
I will not share that shit on social media.
And I'm okay with that. And I'm more so okay with that because we have some friends here in Nashville who just moved here. Shout out to Katie and Danny.
Hey.
Who are also expecting their first child. They're having a boy in April. And she was saying that when they got their 3D scan, that her husband Danny was like, let's put this on our family's Aura, which is that digital photo frame that you can just upload pictures.
Oh, awesome.
And so at grandma's house, it's just there's this digital picture frame, and as you upload, she can be like, oh, there's new pictures.
I love that.
And Danny was like, let's put it on the family Aura. And Katie was like, I think this is an opt-in situation. Right. I don't want your family to see my spleen next to our child. Because if you didn't know what it was, it's a little scary looking.
Yeah. Coming out of nowhere, you see a picture of everyone at the Poconos. And then this Voldemort-looking creature right afterward. Ah!
So I'm okay with not sharing that picture on social media, but I just thought that was really funny.
Yeah, it is funny.
So today we're just going to kind of go over what the first trimester was like for us and our experience. Please keep in mind, everybody's experience is completely different.
Totally different.
Don't think that because, you know, I had X symptom that it's going to happen to you. Mm-hmm. It's some people don't have any symptoms at all their first trimester, and I hate those people.
You're jealous of those people.
I'm really jealous. I don't hate them. I just like...
You're envious. Because it's pretty rough.
Count your blessings, ladies. First thing. We found out we were pregnant at 5 weeks, which is extremely early. And something that my mom has said to us multiple times when I would get anxious about things is back when we, when our parents were having kids, they would find out when they were like at 7 or 8 weeks. So they didn't have the anxiety leading up to the first doctor's appointment.
Yeah.
But, you know, technology these days is wild, and at-home pregnancy tests are great.
A blessing and a curse.
Yeah. So we found out really early. And so with that, it comes a lot of anxiety, especially for us because we've experienced loss in the past. And with our loss, when we had our first appointment at, I think it was at 7 weeks or eight, I can't remember. When we got there, there was no heartbeat. And so for me, that first appointment holds a lot of stress.
It was crucial.
And anxiety. And so leading up to that, I was just a wreck.
Yeah.
And the thing about it for me was that I would get what's called, I call intrusive thoughts of just because I would think like in my brain, I would be like running scenarios of having to tell my mom that we had lost the baby again. Yeah. Or, and so every time that that would happen, I would have to pause and try and wipe that intrusive thought out of my brain and refocus and put in a positive thought. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like an internal war. I was like lobbing positive grenades at my negative thoughts of like, you're not allowed here.
Yeah. And that's okay.
Yeah. And, I mean, what was it like for you as a partner who's not physically going through it to like support me in those anxiety riddled weeks leading up to that first appointment?
Well, we had both been there before.
Right.
So even though my experience wasn't as physically and emotionally draining as yours was,
right,
I still knew on the previous pregnancy where we were at and what I needed to do.
Right.
Because we had our first experience with it, and it ending the way it did gave me like a second chance to make sure that we're taking all the right steps and I'm holding your hand at the right time along the way.
Right, right. And giving me space when I needed it too.
Yeah.
It's so hard to like try and put into words everything that I was feeling and going through. And one of the things that I was thinking about so often was like every time I would go to the bathroom, I was like mentally preparing myself to see blood. And I guess I should have put a trigger warning. So trigger warning coming up of for the next, let's say, 30 seconds to a minute of going to the bathroom and just being like scared to pee and like possibly see blood, because that's how it happened the last time, mm-hmm. is that everything felt fine in my body physically, but then all of a sudden I was having blood. And so just like that anxiety of sitting down to go pee, an everyday thing that I do quite a bit because mm-hmm. I drink a lot of water, and just being like, oh gosh, like, and just having like a little prayer before every bathroom use is so exhausting.
Sure.
So things like that, that just kind of take over your mind and your way of thinking. And for this pregnancy, I wanted to, like we talked about in the previous episode, I wanted to take control of something that I couldn't have control over.
Ah.
So I was trying to find ways that I could make myself feel like I had control in the situation. So one of those things was, I don't know, was it the day that we found out I was pregnant that I put my mantras up on the mirror?
Oh, yeah.
So I think within like the first hour of having the positive pregnancy test at home, I went to the computer and I just typed out mantras that I could say to myself every day when I looked in the mirror. And I, unfortunately, I don't have them in front of me, but I can post them on our social media. But it was like, this will be a different story with a different end result. Mm-hmm. And I am, my body is capable of carrying this pregnancy and yep. having a healthy pregnancy. I am worthy of being a mother to this child that I am growing. So things like that, that I literally put a piece of paper on my, our bathroom mirror with a little rainbow behind it because it is our rainbow baby. And for those who don't know, when you see on social media, people are referring to a rainbow baby, it's because they had previous loss. And this baby is considered the like treasure at the end of the rainbow, mm-hmm. essentially. And so I put a little rainbow on it as well. And I, just whenever I was having those intrusive thoughts, I would say one of my mantras. And then on a more spiritual side of things, I also had 10 different prayers for pregnancy that I would maybe follow up with if I felt like I needed like a little extra oomph that day
yeah.
of, you know, getting big guns upstairs on my side to help me carry this pregnancy. So on top of stress and anxiety comes the physical symptoms oh. of the first trimester, which the first trimester goes up until week 13. And it is a long 13 weeks, let me tell you.
Are you going to be okay talking about this? Are you going to trigger yourself all over again?
I don't think so.
I hope not.
I think I should be fine. I mean, so I'll say this. In my second trimester, my symptoms are pretty much gone, mm-hmm. except for my gag reflexes are not where they used to be, which is sounds sexual and I don't mean it to,
no.
but like, I can't take my normal vitamins because I end up like choking them back up because of my gag reflexes. And also in the morning, if I'm like coughing, if I cough too hard, it engages my gag reflex and I cough and then gag at the same time.
Yeah. You can't smell me after the gym without gagging. But that's kind of normal.
First trimester symptoms, I definitely had morning sickness.
It was an all-day sickness,
yeah.
which is a common misnomer.
Correct.
It's not just morning. It's all flipping day.
Yeah.
Sometimes every day.
Yeah. It's such a weird mindfuck because it's like, okay, I am nauseous. So normally when I am nauseous and not pregnant, I don't want to eat anything. But because I'm pregnant, I know the nausea is only going to get worse if I don't eat something.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have to choke something down so that the nausea will subside a little bit. And that's so weird.
It's the lesser of two evils, I guess.
It is. It's like, I want to throw up, but I know I need to eat something.
Yeah.
And that's such a weird thing to kind of go through. Mm-hmm. I would say up until maybe week 12.
Yeah, every bit of it.
Yeah, that I was just like day in and day out really struggling. And like, I had a lot of food aversions. Like mm-hmm. one of my favorite food groups, mac and cheese,
yep.
just sounded like absolute hell on wheels. Like it just sounded disgusting.
Full
to
on
me.
Gag reflex.
Yeah, like just the, I mean, I still like mac and cheese, but like putting myself back into the mental state that I was in of first trimester, the thought of a bowl of mac and cheese literally made my skin crawl.
Yeah.
And then also, I had this weird thing with meat. Like, I would be in the middle of eating something, like, most of the time it was red meat, but sometimes it could be chicken as well.
Mostly red meat, though.
Yeah. I would be in the middle of eating something, and then all of a sudden, my body was like, uh-uh. We do not want this.
Your body would slap down the nope card.
Yeah, the nope card, exploding kittens.
Yeah.
You guys should play that game. It's super fun.
Bingo.
But, and like, I would kind of push my plate away, and Ben would always look at me and be like, is it the meat thing? And that's just what we labeled it.
And it was just instant.
Yeah, but I would be halfway through, like, a burger or a steak or something, and I'd be like, uh-uh, it's not happening anymore. It's just, it's so strange what...
What that child inside of you
yeah.
is doing.
I mean, they're in charge. If
yeah.
you think that you're in charge,
Wrong.
But was it hard for you? Because one of the things is like, in the first trimester as well, is you're just exhausted. Like there were days that I did not get off the couch and I felt really bad about that, but it was what it was. So I'm nauseous and I'm tired and I just don't want to do anything. And I would say that I do a good portion of the cooking in the house.
Oh yeah.
And so you would be like, can I make dinner for you? And I, again, going back to my control issues, I wanted to be in control of making dinner, mm-hmm. and I just would have to let go of that and say, yeah, you can make dinner. And then at times I would just be like, oh, you just made this dinner and I'm not going to eat it. Like, or I'd just eat a couple bites and I felt so bad because...
But that didn't happen very often.
Not very often, but enough that like I felt bad because you had just, you were trying to help and you were being supportive.
And I'm just like, oh my God, did I oversalt the risotto?
And it's just, you know, first trimester is a real test. It's a real test.
But the days that you really had to recoup and just take it easy, I mean, that's where I come in.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing I can do for your illness, but I can do the things that you physically can't do.
Yeah, true.
At like, that time.
Take care of the dogs, take care of the chickens.
Anything around the house that you would normally do is fine. And that's dad mode engaged.
Dad mode. Also, I thought this was a wives' tale when I first heard it, but pregnant women are not allowed to clean the litter box. Which is so, like...
Convenient? Is that the word you're looking for?
I mean, I don't hate that that's a rule, but I also feel bad because, like, you are now the kingdom of the litter box. Like, you are in charge.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Although maybe it's bringing you closer to Mutonius.
Oh, yeah. As she looks over my shoulder the whole time, like, you missed a spot.
That's funny. She's like, peasant, pick up my poop.
Pathetic.
And I'm trying to think, like, in all the other restrictions that you have of, like, you can't eat soft cheeses, you can't eat deli meat, you can't eat sushi. But there's, like...
The list goes on.
The list goes on. And so you find yourself, like, constantly Googling, like... And I got so lazy, I'd be like, salami pregnant.
Yeah.
And that was one thing that I really was having a hard time with, surprisingly.
Salami, out of all
salami.
The things.
Salami. I really wanted to eat salami.
Our last doctor's appointment, we went in and...
And we got conflicting information.
Right. We always have a list going of what we're going to ask the doctor before we go in.
Which is something I would recommend.
Totally.
Anytime you and your partner are talking, you're like, I wonder this. Just have a running shared notes on your phone and just have a list of questions that you can fire off at the doctor.
Yeah. So we asked the nurse practitioner.
Yeah.
And a lot of times she's the one on the other side of the online portal that
which
answers
is amazing.
These questions.
Oh, God bless our doctor's office. They have like essentially a direct email link to your nurse and you can ask like the dumbest questions. And they get back to you so quickly.
Yeah. So, but you asked her in person, right?
I did. But it wasn't Peyton. It was somebody else that day.
So asked about salami. They're like, oh, yeah, just in moderation or whatever. And then we went into the doctor's office and we did our checkup. And then she follows up with, do you have any questions for me? And Kate asks, so the nurse outside said I could have salami, but I want to ask you if we can. And she gave you this matter-of-fact look like, oh, no, you can't.
No, you can't have salami.
And you were fighting it, like, trying to find any way around it. You're like, well, she said in moderation, so...
Well, and I, in my brain, I was like, why did you ask her? You should have just kept what the nurse said and just rolled with it.
And then we dived into, like, what is salami? Well, it's a cured meat, so...
You know, I've never actually thought that we had a full-blown conversation. With Dr. Owelu about what is salami.
Yeah.
Shout out to Dr. Owelu. We love her
She's
so
a good,
much.
Good sport.
But what's so fascinating that she told us, which I never knew, is like the reason that a pregnant woman can't have deli meat and also salami, boo, is because of listeria.
Listeria.
But she said you're at a higher risk of contracting it from fruit. Than deli meat. And I was like, wait, what? Then why are we allowed to eat fruit? She's like, well, you're washing your fruit, right? And I was like, yeah. She's like, well, don't wash it with bleach. I was like, oh, okay.
I'm going to bleach these raspberries real quick.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are people out there.
Ooh, but even if that percentage was so small, if it was like a 1% or a 0.5% chance, it's like, well, you know, let's try to be as thorough as we can and eliminate any possibility of stuff going wrong.
Yeah.
Which is why you can't eat chicken eggs from our backyard.
Not pasteurized.
Yeah. So, store-bought eggs for Kate, backyard for me.
Backyard Ben eggs. Okay, so also in the first trimester, when people find out that you're pregnant, in comes the flood of advice and information.
Yeah, whether you ask for it or not.
I'm well aware that people are coming from a good, good place of giving us their opinions, their information, their experiences with their children. But one thing that I do appreciate is we got lots of recommendations for what books we should be reading. Mm-hmm. And so I have a couple that I've been reading. One of them, and the other thing too, is like a lot of the books that are about like the actual journey of pregnancy, I have found it's easier for me to read it in pieces rather than just burn through the whole book and like read and follow along as where I am in my pregnancy. So one of them is called Nurture, A Modern Caring Guide to Pregnancy and Birth and Early Motherhood. It's written by Erica Chidi Cohen, and I'm sorry if I mispronounced that. She's a birth and postpartum doula. So that one's been really actually fascinating of just kind of like following along of different trimesters, and it actually goes by month. It's like what to expect in month 5 and all this kind of stuff. Another one that I bought but I haven't really been reading as much is, it's called Expecting Better: Why the Conventional Pregnancy Wisdom is Wrong and What You Really Need to Know. And on the side it says, Drinking Safely During Pregnancy: Why Gaining Too Much Weight Might Be Safer Than Gaining Too Little.
I get that.
Why Sushi and Cheese Aren't So Bad But Gardening Could Be.
Oh, better dive into that.
So that was another one that somebody had recommended to me. Another one, oh, this one that our friends Josh and Sarah recommended for when the baby comes is The Baby Whisperer Solves All Your Problems by teaching you how to ask the right questions. Sleeping, feeding, and behavior beyond the basics from infancy through toddlerhood. And I haven't even cracked it open.
Well, good thing we have it.
Yeah, we have it because it's, I think there's like an index of like not sleeping, and you go to that chapter, yeah,
cry.
And why isn't my baby sleeping? Oh God, we're going to be so sleep deprived. And another one that I found on my own, which I have been reading and actually I find very interesting, is Take Back Your Family, From the Tyrants of Burnout, Busyness, Individualism, and the Nuclear Ideal. It's by Jefferson Blethke. I'm so sorry if I'm mispronouncing that.
If you're listening, Mr. Blethke.
Yeah, Blethke. I hope that that's right.
We apologize.
I'm so sorry. But this one's really interesting. It's just kind of talking about how the idea of a nuclear family isn't really realistic.
Yeah.
And how Sears kind of created the nuclear family.
Damn you, Sears.
Yeah. And it's really fascinating. And I will say that if you are religious in any way, this might be a book for you. If you're not religious, this might not be the book for you, because he does touch on Christianity in parenthood. So.
Gotcha.
Just a little heads up on that one. What about you, Ben? What books are you reading?
A couple that are equally entertaining. For the more serious notes, I was recommended this book. I was given this book the second that I announced it to my coworkers. The story goes that he went and took it out of his bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
And his wife said, "What are you doing?" He says, "Ben needs this." And it is The Baby's Owner Manual by Joe and Louis Borgonit, and it is very black and white. It treats your baby like it's a car, so your model. It talks about the maintenance that it needs. If it has to go back to the, what would be car shop, it says to take it back to its care provider. So that's going to be handy for a lot of men out there. And the other one, a more humorous approach, is one called Dude, You're Gonna Be a Dad, by John Pfeiffer. It's a very practical approach to what you're going through, with a lot of humor, but it gets down to the brass tacks of why things are happening, insider tips of what you can do for your wife, stuff that most men don't know that you probably should know. So it feels like a buddy talking to you about how your life's about to change.
Well, and you, every once in a while you'll like read something out loud from that book, and it's almost like a little insider track of what's going on with my body, but it's making it more digestible for you to be able to read and understand. And I mean, you've learned some very interesting tidbits from that
book. But every time I think I have the upper hand on something, I'm like, oh, honey, have you thought about swaddles? And you're like, oh, yeah, you mean this, this, and this? It's already on the baby registry.
Listen,
I'm like, okay.
I love research. I'm a planner. We know this. We love this about me.
Yes, I do.
But I wanted to tell this story as well. It's like in the first couple of weeks that we found out, I mean, which is, it's so weird to even think about this. And for people who live on the West Coast, this is going to sound weird, but in November, you were mowing the lawn, which is so weird to think about. Uh-huh. With, like, the last time that you mowed the lawn.
It's Tennessee, baby.
And I was in the house. And when you mow the lawn, you have your big headphones on. And I could see you mowing the lawn. And you were, like, kind of laughing to yourself. And so when you came back in, I was like, what were you listening to out there? Like, you seemed to be really enjoying yourself. And I don't remember what were you listening to that you gained all this information?
Yeah, it was a podcast that covers a lot of not talked about topics.
Oh, okay.
That are, you know, in everyday life, but it was talking about the placenta. Trigger warning, possibly. I won't go into too much detail, but how the placenta inside your body right now is, in a way, trying to kill you and feed this baby. So all the nutrients that go into your body, it's taking from you, sucking up everything to make sure that baby
is a parasite.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Exactly right.
But he just, like, you came in and you were like, did you know your placenta's trying to kill you? And I was like, I did not. Tell me more.
Yeah, as if you weren't scared enough already.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of unknowns, and I can only do so much research.
Yeah.
And I'm always going to have more questions. And at this point, I've kind of learned that if it's not something that's going to cause me or the baby immediate danger, I just got to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Let it go. Oh, trademark. At this stage where I'm at in our second trimester and looking down the barrel of the third trimester, is I'm getting really anxious about birth, which we'll make that a whole other episode. But
we have to.
Whoo, buddy. It's going to get real.
Oh, yeah.
It is going to get real, and I'm a little scared.
I'll be there to hold your hand.
Oh, I know. You're going to be doing a lot more than holding my hand, let me tell you that.
Yeah.
So we'll kind of finish with going to our first appointment. And we go to a lovely doctor's office here in Nashville, in Midtown. And part of the reason that I love going to our doctor's office, and this is so dumb and so shallow and not why you should choose a doctor, but their office is beautiful.
Very modern.
It's just
a lot of plants.
Lots of natural sunlight, plants everywhere, big comfortable linen sofas.
Yeah, you can see at least 12 cranes in the horizon. Love it.
And there's like a little coffee station. And
is there?
Yeah.
Damn it, I missed it.
There's a little coffee bar in there. But it's just like, it's a very peaceful setting. And I love it. And also, our lovely doctor, Dr. Owelu, which I've never asked her if it's okay that I use her name, and I'll ask her at the next appointment. She has been with us from the beginning, and she's just so wonderful, and just like she's made this whole experience like so.
She puts the personal touch.
Oh, for sure.
On our journey.
Yeah.
And maybe she does that with all of her patients.
I'm sure she does. That's why she's good at her job.
Yeah, but we feel special.
Yeah. I feel like she's actually seriously invested in our pregnancy and this whole journey that we've been on. But so we went in, we had an appointment. It was almost 9 weeks, actually. Yeah. It's like it was on the tail end of our 8 weeks. And so we got there and I don't think this is a trigger warning, but if you're uncomfortable with like medical speak, maybe skip to the end of the podcast. But for those of you that don't know, your first ultrasound is an internal ultrasound. So they have this, we'll call it a wand.
It's the best way to describe it.
They have a wand that they put all up in you. And that's how you have your first ultrasound. And so got to the doctor's office. We get into our special room and we're sitting there and we're waiting. Dr. Owelu comes in and she's always so like positive and upbeat. Mm-hmm. And she's like, all right, let's take a look at this baby. And so I would say that 30 seconds leading up to the first time that we heard the heartbeat was probably the most anxiety that I've experienced in this pregnancy.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because you're just like waiting on bated breath, because the last time that we had that experience, there was nothing to hear. Mm-hmm. And so to all of a sudden have like the sound of the heartbeat come through the monitor, and she's like, do you see this little flicker? And at first I was like, I don't see it. And she's like, that's the heart. And I was like, ah. But I mean, what was that like for you? I mean, cause
it was awesome.
Yeah. Like what, I mean,
I didn't know that the heart was going to beat that fast.
Yeah. What was it the first time? Like one, what?
It was like 1:15 or something.
Uh-huh. Sounds like a horse galloping.
Yeah.
Yeah. The biggest weight comes off your shoulders as soon as you see the flickering of the heart. And then when you hear it, it just like, it's truly something spectacular.
It's like, holy crap, it's in there.
There's something in there.
Whoa.
Now I get why you're sick all the time. But yeah, it was just such a special moment. And Dr. Owelu was just like so ready to answer every question that we had, because we had a long list of questions. Mm-hmm. And we got a little printout and it looked like a little jelly bean at the moment, at that first appointment. And then we came back at 12 weeks, which was our second appointment. And we got to see it again, and there was a whole hand in there.
Yeah.
Like, it looked like little grains of rice.
Yep. It just put its hand up right on the ultrasound camera.
It looked like it was waving at us.
What's up, Mom? What's up, Dad?
But it was funny because for that second ultrasound, the baby was actually upside down.
Yeah.
And so she was thinking that it was going to flip, that it was going to flip over so that we could get a better look at it. And she's like, okay, well, let's just sit here for a second. And she kept the Doppler on my stomach. I don't even know if it's called a Doppler, but that's what I'm going to call it. She kept the Doppler on my stomach. She's like, I think it's going to flip. So ask me the questions that you have and we'll see if it flips. So we were asking all the questions, and then she looks back at the screen and she goes, it's asleep.
Yeah, yeah.
We were like, what? She's like, yeah, it's taking a little snooze.
And she subtly tried to nudge it to get it to wake
up. She was like rubbing the Doppler on my stomach, like trying to wake up the baby, like, come on, wake up, wake up. And she's like, nope, I think it's just going to take a little nap.
All tuckered out.
Yeah. And I was just like, that's my kid in there taking a nap.
You guys notice how we're saying kid and nondescript pronouns? That's because we are going to wait until the delivery day to find out the gender.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
One of the few surprises you have in life.
Yeah.
So we're going to relish it as long as we can.
Yeah, I am. Like I said before, we have our 20-week ultrasound coming up where it gets real up close and personal and detailed. Uh-huh. And so I'm going to be like looking real hard because, I mean, granted, the doctor's not going to tell us. She already knows.
Yeah, she knows not to.
She knows not to spoil it. But I'm going to just be like, is that a toe? Is that a finger? Is that something else? But yeah, I think it's for us, it just feels like the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And no judgment on anybody who wants to find out the gender of their baby.
Of course not.
You know, for us, we both just decided there's not a lot of natural surprises left in this world. And also, selfishly, it makes the registry and the nursery a lot easier being unisex, because we'll be able to use stuff over again.
And I will say, being a soon-to-be dad, I have gone down the baby aisle at every store we go to. It's like at Walmart and we do bus call.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? You didn't tell me this?
I make sure all the buses have finished shopping at 15:45. So like 15 minutes before we leave, I'm like, okay, all the buses, cars have gone through. I'm going to go to the baby aisle.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I go to the baby aisle and some of the best clothes are gender neutral.
Yep.
Seriously.
Yeah. That's really sweet. I didn't know that you do that.
Yeah, I sure do.
That's cute. Do you ever feel the need to buy something like I do?
No, because I'm walking back on the bus.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're probably walking on the bus and like, what you got, Ben?
Oh, no.
Nothing.
Soap and shampoo.
And a onesie.
Yeah.
Although most everybody on your bus is a dad, so they would understand.
Yeah, over half of them.
Yeah. Yeah. But then the onesie comes back smelling like the bus. And then, well, we know how I feel about that.
I got to wash it before I put it on the child, which I guess we should do anyway.
All the clothes will be washed before they get put away. But, and we've been slowly starting to nest a little bit in the nursery. Ben built a dresser a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. I've got some shelves about to be put in. I think we should wait until the crib.
Yeah. I need to order the crib still, but I'm waiting for the one I want to come back into stock.
Nice.
But yeah, first trimester is It's a crazy time. Mm-hmm. It's a wild ride. But we're out of it. We're in second trimester, which everybody calls the honeymoon phase. And we'll have another episode where we recap the second trimester. But at this point, it all's going really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're counting our blessings every day because
Amen, we
know that it's not going to last forever.
No, sir.
So cherish the good times. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you so much for coming back to listening to episode 2 of season 3 of Pending Nuptials, the podcast. We appreciate you coming back and going through this journey with us. Feel free to comment on our Instagram if you have any questions. Maybe I'll do that for one episode. I'll put up questions on our Instagram story for people to ask us.
Nice.
And we can do a Q&A
for
an episode. But so just keep your eye on our social media for updates of things like that and episodes that are upcoming. And again, just thank you for coming back and going through this with us.
Like and subscribe. Give us a rating if you so choose.
Oh, yeah. I forget. Yeah. Give us a rating now that we're back. You know, for a time, we were on top of the relationship podcast charts, and I think maybe we should get back up there.
It's time to climb.
Let's climb that ladder.
Let's go.
It might take me a little longer because I'm a little hefty, but that's all right.
It's okay. I'll push you.
Support me.
Yeah.
Anyways, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Look at us. Look, mom and dad on the road to being mom and dad. Mm-hmm. It's wild.
Who'd have thought?
I mean, I hoped,
and prayed,
and wishing and waiting. But I love you.
I love you too.